Proverbs chapter 1. The book of Proverbs describes many character qualities of both men and women. And if we were to try to list, you know, some of the major ones that would come to our minds, one of the first things that would immediately come to most of our minds is the virtuous woman. And Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman. Most of the chapter is dedicated to the qualities of a virtuous woman. But you know, as you look at the book of Proverbs, one of the phrases that comes up again and again and again and again and again is the wise man. And what I want to do in the next few weeks is to spend 2 weeks evaluating the wise man and then 2 weeks evaluating the virtuous woman. And so we're going to go through this and one by one look at these qualities, and there are a lot of things in it we can learn. And I wish that there was one section of Proverbs where you could just look at it and say, all right, there's the section that says, men, this is your job. But it's spread throughout the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to be looking at 7 different verses tonight and probably 7 or 8 next week that consider a wise man. What does God say a person needs to be wise? And I realize that the word wise man in Proverbs could be somewhat generic and refer to wise men and women, but it does use the male gender, and it's referring to men, and men need to be wise. They need to be leaders. They need to be what God wants them to be in this area. Now, the word wisdom, it describes a man who has wisdom or skill or prudence or is cunning, circumspect, or proper. That's what the word wise means. And so it's talking about our abilities, our right judgments. Really, wisdom, to be wise, is to make decisions God's way. It's the God-given ability to make right choices, is what wisdom is. The God-given ability to make right choices. And God wants us as men to be wise. He wants us to have the God-given ability to make right choices. And all through life, it applies to so many areas of life, and we need to have qualities in these areas. Now, the word virtue, as we'll look at that in a couple of weeks, virtue refers to strength. And particularly in the book of Proverbs, it refers to strength of character. Strength of character. It's talking about a wife's or a woman's strength of character. So we're going to be looking at a man's wisdom, his God-given ability to make right choices, and a woman's strength of character. And so we're going to be examining those things one by one as we work our way through and trying to make them as practical as possible. So tonight we're going to just start at the beginning of Proverbs and work our way through. And I looked up verses that dealt with wisdom and men's wisdom. And we're going to start with verse number 1 of chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So we find the first quality of a wise man is that he listens and learns from counsel. He listens and learns from counsel. He has a readiness to learn. You know, many men, unfortunately, are unteachable. You try to teach them something and they won't listen. They're a know-it-all person. God says that know-it-all people are not wise. They're not wise. I like what Harry Ironside said in his commentary, and I'll refer to him frequently in our study here because he covers Proverbs really, really well. But he said, as a rule, the less a man knows, the more he thinks he knows. And unfortunately, that's true about us. A lot of times, the less we know, the more we think we know. And trying to teach some people something, they just don't want to listen. But a wise man willingly admits that he does not know everything and that he needs some help. You know, that is a wise character. So men, one of the things we need to ask God to help develop in our lives is the ability to see, I don't have all the answers, and I need God's help. I need God's help. I need God to show me what I need. And it requires humility to listen and to those who are teaching us. It may be teaching from the Scriptures. You're reading along in the Bible and you see something. It's humbleness to accept what God said and obey what he said, but it also comes from humbleness of listening to others that are instructing us, whether it be your pastor or whether it be a godly friend or maybe even the boss at work giving you some instructions on what he wants you to do. A wise person will listen to counsel. It'll listen to instruction. And so we need to ask God to help us develop that ability to listen and learn from counsel. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9 speaks on a similar in a similar way, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So there, God says that if you give instruction to a wise man, he's going to get wiser. And if you teach a just man or a man who's right with God, he will increase in learning. And so if we're wise and we're seeking to be wise, we will be absorbing information and counsel from others. He benefits from this counsel. He seeks counsel before making decisions. You know, that's the wise thing to do. Don't just jump in and then think, oh, I should have asked some questions first. You know, we've probably all done that before. I remember sometimes I've done that. You jump in first and then you think, whoops, I should have asked a little bit before this. But we need to ask counsel and seek direction and get guidance. And he takes advice and he gets wiser as he does that. You know, a husband who will be a wise leader in his home will not be too proud to seek counsel of his wife. You know, our wife is our partner. She is there to be our completer. And we need our wives. And God wants us to be humble enough to seek their counsel. You know, we're making a decision. Maybe we're making a decision about buying a car or buying a house or changing jobs or training the children or whatever the situation may be. The wise thing to do is to seek counsel and to discuss it with your spouse. Very important thing. So the first thing a wise man does is he listens and learns from counsel. Number two is in chapter 9 and verse number 8. So you can turn over there, chapter 9 and verse number 8. Here we find that he accepts correction cheerfully. Chapter 9 and verse number 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. A wise man accepts rebuke. It is the wise thing to do. Now, rebuke refers to correction, judgment, conviction. Someone saying you didn't do it right. And sometimes we, especially as men, we tend to bristle at that, especially if it comes from our wife. You know, you didn't do it right. We bristle at that. But the wise thing to do is to take rebuke and to examine the situation and think about it. You know, a wise man will admit when he's been wrong. For some guys, that's the hardest thing in the whole world, to admit they've been wrong. To admit and say, you know, I did not do it right. The wise man will not rebel when he is rebuked. He will take it like a man. He will humble himself. He'll swallow his pride. And he's willing to change. So the wise man accepts the correction. He says, okay, I can see I didn't do it right and I need to make some changes here. And he's willing to accept the change. That's what God says is the wise thing to do. That's a characteristic of a wise man. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 10 says, A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So he says, if you're wise, you'll receive reproof far quicker than a fool will receive instruction with 100 stripes, with a whip or a rod, and being beaten. He says, a wise person absorbs it quickly. A fool, he just has a terrible time trying to absorb anything that is kind of reproof toward him. Now, notice here in our text verse that it says that he appreciates, or he actually loves those that reprove him. He loves them. He appreciates those who point out his error. And to the point where it actually says that he loves them. You know, we ought to love the people that help us. You know, if someone's trying to direct us down the right way, and says, listen, if you go that way, it's going to lead you into destruction. It's going to hurt you. You know, some people get really upset, you know, mind your own business. Leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. Well, fine. Down there, the bridge is washed out. Go ahead. But I'm telling you, that's not the wise way to go. But a wise person loves him and says, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't want to go down there and get, you know, run over that washed out bridge and fall over the cliff and die. That's not what I want. Thank you very much. And they appreciate the guidance and counsel that they can get. Now, he's wise enough to see that getting back on right track and the right path will benefit him. Here's a wise person. The wise person says, listen, I can see if I'm off track and you rebuke me and get me back on track, that's a blessing. I need that. That'll help me. That'll make my life better and I'll avoid a lot of problems in life. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27:6. Think about that. What is he saying? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend. A friend will come to you and say, friend, put his arm around you and say, you made a mistake. That wasn't the right thing to do. That was wrong. You need to make it right. He does that because he cares. And he wants to help you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You might say, oh, that hurt when you told me that. Yes, but it was a helpful hurt. But he says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The enemy comes along, you know, and the idea of a kiss is all is well. You know, good, you know, all is well. And in your head, I'm heading over the cliff, you know, all is well. Don't worry about it. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And you just head right over the cliff and fall over the side. And it does, and so the enemy doesn't care about you. But the friend loves you enough to tell you what is needed in your life. And so the wise man appreciates that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31 says, the ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. The ear that hears reproof of life abides among the wise. So if we hear the reproof and we listen to it and we change our ways, he said, we abide among the wise. That's the wise thing to do. So the first quality we looked at was that he listens and learns to counsel. The second quality is that he accepts correction cheerfully. Number three, he obeys orders. Chapter 10, verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 8. The wise man, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. It says that he receives the commandments. The word receive there means to get, to fetch, to lay hold of, to seize, to receive, to acquire. The idea is he takes it in. So the wise person takes in the commandment that was given to him. He accepts it. He acquires it. He adopts it. He takes it as part of what he's supposed to do, and he does so happily from the heart. He said, that's what I need to do, and he takes it in. Now, God doesn't tell us here who the one giving the commandments referred to. It may be referring to God. It may be God's word, and you're reading in the Bible, and God says, thou shalt not, or thou shalt, or he gives you a principle, and you say, all right, well, if that's what God says I've got to do, then I'm going to do it. That's what God wants me to do, and I'm going to obey God. Or you may hear something from the preaching that speaks to your heart from the Word of God, and you say, yep, that's what I've got to do. I've got to work at that, and I'm going to accept that. Or it may be from the boss at work, and he says, I want you to do it this way. And you think, that's not the way I would do it. Doesn't matter, you're not the boss. Boss said, do it this way, do it that way. And we need to accept the commandments that are given to us. And then he says that the idea of it here, when he says to accept it, to receive the commandments, is the idea of obeying them. He obeys the orders instead of talking against them like the prating fool. At the end of the verse says, but the prating fool shall fall. The word prating means to talk. To talk too much or to object. You know, the boss says, this is what I want you to do. Oh, I don't agree. You know, I don't think we should do that. Or maybe not have the courage to say it to the boss. But he talks to everybody else and says, I don't like what the boss is doing. We can't do this. I don't like to do that. And grumbles and complains and murmurs and gripes about what he's supposed to do. And sometimes it's the same way in our hearts. We find something that God wants us to do in the Bible. And instead of just happily doing it, we gripe and complain and say, why does God make me do that? I don't like doing it that way. Why do I got to do it that way? And we grumble and complain. He says, that's the prating fool. So the wise man accepts it. He receives the commandment and does what he's told. And doesn't complain and grumble about it, but receives what God expects him to do. Makes no excuses for it. Doesn't twist the word around, trying to make it his own way. But it also applies to the laws of the land. The civil laws of our land. Obeying the civil laws. Obeying the traffic laws. You know, I've known Christians that just kind of make a mock at the traffic laws. As long as they could speed without getting caught, then who cares? To me, that's disobeying God. Because God told us we were to obey the laws of the land. And there's nothing wrong with the law that says that the speed limit is 90. And if God says, or if the law says the speed limit is 90 and it's for our good, then we need to obey it, whether we like it or not. You know, there's some places where, you know, some of the stretches of road, you think, oh, this is so silly. They've marked it 70, and there's not a house around the place, and it's a long stretch. Why can't I go 80? You know, but that's what the law says. And we need to obey the laws of the land. A wise man is a man who obeys the tax laws, obeys the copyright laws, and even obeys the water reticulation laws. You know, we're driving here to church tonight. People have their water retic on. I think, it isn't even 6 o'clock. What are they doing? They're not supposed to have their water on until 6 o'clock. And then not shut it off at 9 in the morning. People don't pay attention to it. But a Christian ought to be an example. You know, we need to be an example. Because if we don't follow an example, what's going to happen? The neighbor that sees us watering our lawn at 4 in the afternoon for no reason, and then neighbor knows that the law is what the law says, and the neighbor says, oh, they go to church and say they're Christians. Well, look at that. They don't even obey the laws of the land. We're not a good testimony. We need to do what's right. So we need to be what God wants. Now, Jesus even linked obedience to love. Did you remember what Jesus said in John 14:15? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so if we say we love God, we're to do what he says. Do what he says. And one of the things he said is to obey the laws of the land. And so we need to do what is right. So the wise man obeys orders. He obeys orders. Number 4, the wise man speaks healing words. Chapter 12 and verse 18. Chapter 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. A wise man guards his tongue. And you know, I was going to say this at the beginning, but I'll stop right now and say it because it's important to you understand. I wish, men, I wish that I could say, I've got all these mastered, follow me. But I don't. I don't. I need these as much as any of us guys need them. These are qualities I have to work on, and I'm working on. Some of them I do better on than others. But we've got to work at it. And here's one of them that I got to keep working on is the speaking healing words. You know, sometimes words come out of my mouth that aren't so healing and they're more hurting than they are healing. And I've got to work at it. So none of us have mastered it, but it's something that all of us are striving toward. And we need to strive toward this. Now, he says that the fool's words stab like a sword. They cut to the heart. They harm reputations, they humiliate, they belittle, they shame, they cut their wives and their children and their friends and their neighbors and their workmates with their tongue. We've all seen that. Perhaps we've done it. Our tongue starts slicing like a sword and cutting people. And sometimes the wounds that come from our mouths hurt so much that it's nearly impossible for them to heal. That's tragic. You know, when we do or say things that hurt so badly that it's really hard to get over it. It's hard for a person to get over it. You know, if a person is humiliated or called a name in public and shamed or embarrassed by our tongue, we've cut them sharply. And for them to get over that is difficult because we have hurt them so badly with our tongue. We need to be very, very careful about that. A wise man does not allow his tongue to stab like a sword. He guards it carefully. He prays as the psalmist did in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141, 3. That needs to be our prayer, men, that God would set a watch, a guard, the door of our mouths, and keep us from saying things we shouldn't say. A wise man uses his tongue to heal, not to hurt. You know, how can we do that? One of the best ways that we can do that, or one of the many ways that we can do that, is to confess our sins. You know, we're actually healing ourselves when we confess our sins to God. Remember what God says? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're actually healing our spiritual walk with God. We're healing our fellowship with God when we confess our sins to God. So one of the ways that we can use our tongue to heal is by getting right with God. Also, it's by using words that are kind, encouraging, edifying, comforting, loving, cheering, showing appreciation. You know, all of these are words that heal. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says that we are to, our tongue is to be like salt. The words that come from our mouths are to be like salt that heals and purifies and preserves. We need to use our tongue in helpful, health-giving ways. Also, another way that we can use our tongue in a healthy way is to admit our wrongs when we've hurt others. To admit our wrongs. And fellas, that's one of the hardest things for a guy to do, especially when it's our wife we've hurt, to go to her and say, honey, I was wrong. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? But you know, that's the best thing we can do. We need to apologize with our tongue for our wrongs and seek forgiveness. We need to do that. It's humiliating. It's humbling. It's hard to do. But it is absolutely important. And also, our tongue needs to be willing to forgive others. When someone comes to us and says, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? Sometimes in our heart we think, no, you don't deserve forgiveness. But God wants us to forgive. And with our tongue, we need to be willing to forgive and let them know that, yes, I forgive you. And true forgiveness is burying it forever, not bringing it up again. We should never bring up wrongs of the past that have been forgiven. Because if they've truly been forgiven, we need to forget them. Now, I realize we're not humanly capable sometimes of forgetting everything. But we can choose not to remember. I remember a story of someone that was always tried to be appropriate with their mouth. And someone asked them about someone that they knew had hurt them. They knew it hurt them. And the lady said something nice about the person. And they said, how can you say that when they hurt you like they did? And she said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Right. And just forcing ourselves not to think about it, not remember it. Force ourselves just to forget. And that we may never forget it inwardly, but we can forget it in our responses. So, speak healing words. Number 5. A wise man walks with wise men. Chapter 13, verse number 20. Chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He is wise because he walks with wise men. A wise person is wise because he walks with wise men. A wise person chooses his friends carefully. You know, we need to think about this very carefully tonight, because the kind of friends we have has a great influence on the kind of person we are. Huge influence. A huge influence. And a wise person chooses his friends carefully. And close friends, his close friends are Christians who will build him up spiritually. You know, our close friends, the friends that we spend time with regularly and have a cup of coffee with, or sit down and fellowship with, or just have them over for a meal, or we just enjoy talking to them, we call them up all the time. Those kind of friends need to be Christians that love God. Christians that love God. Because they will be a help to us and build us up instead of hurt us. We should avoid Christians who are carnal or erring doctrinally. Avoid those kind of Christians. Now, I'm not saying we need to be rude to them. I'm just saying don't make them your close friends. If you know someone who is a carnal Christian, and you know they're carnal, they're not walking with God, and it's obvious, or they're not doctrinally right, then don't spend a bunch of time with them, because their wrong is going to rub off on you. And sometimes we try to think, oh, no, it won't happen to me, but God says it will. God says it will. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. God said, don't deceive yourself. You spend time with the wrong kind of person and it's going to rub off on you. And here's another thing that is very important for us to understand. We need to avoid close friendships with fools. Now, who does God say is a fool? A fool is a person who rejects God's salvation. Now, there's other people that act foolishly, but a true fool is a person who's rejected God. That means unbelievers. We need to avoid close friendships with unbelievers. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, then how am I supposed to be, you know, witnessing to them and winning them to Christ? I didn't say we need to avoid all friendliness toward them, but close friendships. There's a huge difference between being friendly and having a close friendship. I mean, I can be friendly to all my neighbors, even if they're godless. But I don't, you know, sit down with them and fellowship and always talking to them and having them over and doing things together all the time and enjoying being with them, because we don't have things in common. Remember, God says, can two walk together except to be agreed? And if you can walk hand in hand with an unbeliever and feel comfortable, one of two things is a problem. Either you're not what you ought to be as a Christian, or you're not being the witness God wants you to be. Because if you are standing up for the Lord and being a faithful witness and living a godly life, an unbeliever feels very uncomfortable around that. And they don't want to stick around. Now, I'm not saying we're trying to scare them away. I'm not insinuating that. I'm just simply saying that you cannot have close friends that are unsaved unless there's something wrong in your life. Because you don't gravitate to them. Because an unsaved person has different values. They're going a different direction. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. There's different goals, different values, different opinions. And we're going in opposite ways. And so we need to be very careful of our choice of friends. Friends will either make you or they'll break you. Because friends have a great influence on us. Now, the wise person increases the wisdom of his friends. If you're a wise person, wise man, those who hang around you are going to get wiser. They're going to spend time around you. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the fool, the unbeliever, they're not going to want to spend time with you. Some of my neighbors, I got really good neighbors. None of them know the Lord, as far as I know. But I've got good neighbors. But when I talk to them, you know, that's fine. We can go talk to them about the weather and about, you know, what's happening on the street and what's going on in life. But as soon as you mention the Lord, they all of a sudden get busy. Well, I'm going to have to go. I got some things to do. They don't want to talk about that. And, you know, if we talk about the things that really are important to us, they're not interested. They want to, that's not for me. And they avoid us when we try to talk about the Lord. And so we need to be giving wisdom to others. Now, a wise person rubs off wisdom on others. You know, when we're sharing, when we're going through life, our life will share wisdom with others. And those that are around us will get wiser. They'll do that by observing us. They ought to get wiser by observing the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act, the way you make decisions. All your character, they ought to be able to observe that and say, whoa, there's something about here. I'm gaining from this. This is helping me. Every time I'm around that person, I feel like I'm drawing closer to the Lord. Every time I'm around them, I seem to get boosted up a little bit spiritually. And what a blessing that ought to be. And that ought to be the way it is in all of our fellowships. And then they not only by our observations, but our godly conversation, the things that we say, the things that we speak about. When we give counsel, when we talk to them about the various things that we're discussing, it ought to give them wisdom. It ought to make them so that they're gaining more close relationship with God. And so he says here, a wise man, the verse again, 13:20, he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So if we walk with wise men, we're going to be wise. And if we are the wise person, and those that are walking with us ought to be getting wise by walking with us, because our wisdom is rubbing off on them. And so, very important for us to see this. The wise man walks with wise men. Number 6, he fears and departs from evil. Chapter 14, verse number 16. 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a raging fool, but the fool rageth and is confident. Wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. So, a wise man feareth. Now, it doesn't say who he fears or what he fears. But in the context of the book, we can assume several things. Number one, several times throughout the book of Proverbs, he talks about fearing the Lord. And I think that's probably one of the most obvious things when he talks about the person is fearing. It's fearing God. But it could be also that he fears evil. Fears evil. Fears the consequences of evil. Knows that if I go down that road, it's going to lead me to destruction. It's going to hurt me. It's going to harm me if I go that way. I don't want to go that way because I know that it's going to hurt me. You know, you think about that in this life. You know, we know that if we were to allow ourselves to go down some of the roads that are so open around us today, the roads of pornography, for example, you don't have to be a genius to realize that getting addicted to pornography is going to be dreadfully detrimental to your Christian life. It's going to hurt you spiritually, drastically. Doesn't take rocket science to figure that out. It's pretty basic. And as you think about that, the wise person will fear that and say, I don't want that. I don't want to go near that. It's because it'll destroy me. It'll hurt me. It'll hurt my marriage. It'll hurt my relationship with God. It'll hurt everything. I don't want to go that way. I'm fearing that. But he also fears God in the sense that God, he has honor and respect for God and doesn't want to hurt God's feelings. Doesn't want to hurt his relationship with God. He says, I love God. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to go that way of evil. And I don't want to make wrong choices and evil choices because I know that will hurt God. And not only that, but there's a sense in the fear where we actually tremble at the thought of God's punishment too. And say, I don't want to go that way. Because if I go down the road of evil, I know what's going to happen. God's going to, he's going to discipline me. And I don't want that. I don't want that. And so he fears. And when he fears, he departs from evil. He turns from evil. He turns away from it. He makes a conscious choice to turn away from what is wrong. He looks away from immodesty. He looks away from the things that of this world that are evil. He turns his thoughts away from temptations to stray. And he protects his eyes from things that are ungodly. He protects his mind from the garbage of the world. He guards himself, protects himself, and he turns away from the evil. Why? Because he knows that the end of it is going to lead him into trouble. And he doesn't want to offend God. You know, it ought to be in a wise person's heart, it ought to be that I don't want to do wrong because I don't want to offend God. Because God is important to me. I love God. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to offend Him. And I know that He said that this is wrong, and I don't want to do that because I know it would hurt Him. That ought to be in our heart, to make a conscious choice to turn away. We ought to sift all of our activities through the Bible, as we've talked about many times. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Sift it through the Bible. Let the Bible be our guide to help us to make the right choices. So, that was number 6. Number 7, the last one we're going to look at tonight, he shares knowledge rightly. He shares knowledge rightly. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Dr. Ironside made the statement. He said, the wise man knows how to use knowledge profitably. He also knows when to speak and when to be silent. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, here the wise man, he looks for the right time to speak. Men, one of the problems that we often struggle with is finding the right timing. You got to talk to your wife about something, and you know that it's going to be a touchy subject. You got to find the right time. And as a man, usually the right time is right now. But that's not always the right time. All right? The right time sometimes means, you know, at a time, you know, it's not 5 minutes before you go to church. And it's not 5 minutes before you go to bed. You know, you got to think of the right timing so that the situation can be worked through without causing distress and problems. So we need to ask God for the right time. We need to ask God also for wisdom to know just how to say what we need to say. You know, sometimes we have to say things that are going to be hurtful or that's going to could be taken the wrong way. And how do I say it the right way? And ask God for wisdom. The wise person seeks to share his heart in a pleasing way. Notice the verse again. It says in verse number 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The word aright there literally means in a pleasing way. In a pleasing way. And so he uses his tongue to say things in a pleasing way, an appropriate way, a right way, a helpful way, a way that is going to be beneficial. And he seeks to pour. He does not pour out his foolishness like the fool does, but he thinks before he speaks. Thinks before he speaks. Oh, how I need to work on that. So many times I open my mouth before I turn on my brain. And it gets me in trouble every time. We need to think before we speak. Dr. Ironside also said this. He said, it is considered unmanly by many not to resent an insult and to allow wrathful words to pass unchallenged. But it takes far more true character to meet an angry man in quietness of spirit and to return cool, calm words for heated, hasty ones. And I thought there's a lot of truth to that. It takes a lot more character to respond in the right way than to respond in the wrong way. And the world says, if they treat you that way, give it to them. But God says, no, respond in the right way. And it takes a lot more character and a lot more discipline to share knowledge rightly than it does to share it wrongly. And a wise man seeks to do it the right way. He seeks to edify others, build up others. He shares his knowledge. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 7 goes right hand in hand with this. Proverbs 15, 7, it says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. It disperses knowledge. It spreads the knowledge. The idea is not just going around telling everybody what we think about things, but when we have knowledge about something or wisdom or discernment or understanding about something, we're sharing that discernment and wisdom or understanding with others in an appropriate way. We're doing it in a right way to edify, to build up, not blurting out our foolishness and self-centered comments. But we're sharing it in a profitable way. And he seeks to build up others with his knowledge. And so men, we need to work at building up and using our tongue to say things that are done in a right way, use our knowledge rightly so that we're saying it in a helpful way and in a way that is calm, appropriate, and pleasing to God. Now, men, how are we going to develop these qualities? We've looked at seven. I got seven or eight more to go. And there's probably many, many more that we could look at, but I just chose those that are kind of highlights. But how are we going to develop these qualities? We've looked here at qualities. Let me just review them briefly. We need to listen to counsel. We need to accept correction, obey orders, speak healing words, walk with the wise, fear God and depart from evil, share knowledge rightly. The only way that we're going to develop these qualities, the only way, is with God's help. We've got to have God's help because we're not going to be able to do it on our own. It goes against our flesh. And in order to get God's help, there's two things we need to do. We need to humble ourselves before God. And we need to abide in close fellowship with God. We need to humble ourselves and stay close to God. Get close to God. There's no other way. We've got to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. And we need to be close enough to God so that God will be able to help us. And again, that flourishing relationship with God is absolutely necessity in our lives. You will never live a victorious Christian life without a flourishing relationship with God. And by that, I'm talking about spending quality time with God every single day. In Bible study, and in prayer, drawing close to God, confessing our sin, letting God take control of our life and drawing near Him and just following the Word of God. In 1 John 1, verses 3 to 10, talks about that flourishing relationship. John chapter 15 talks about abiding in Christ, that relationship. Galatians chapter 5 talks about walking in the Spirit. That's the same relationship. All of these things are what we need in order to be able to develop these qualities. I've got to work at these things, fellas, and I know that many of us have to do the same. We've got to work at it. These are things that God says we need to have in our lives if we're going to be wise. And so let's ask God to help us develop these and to begin working on them even tonight.